are listening to Law and Gospel on this September the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2017. It's a Rumination Tuesday, which means we take a look at a hymn. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, pretty good, Tom. How about you this day?
Very good. And what's the hymn for today?
Hymn 501 in the Lutheran service book. It's Come Down, O Love Divine.
Come down. And you mentioned to me something about it that was unusual.
It is the only hymn, it's the only hymn that uses this particular melody. And I have to say, I'm not familiar with the melody.
Right. And for some reason, I can't get it being played on the board here. So something's wrong. But so we won't be able to hear the melody. But Laudi Spirituali, that's what it's from. Bianca de Siena is the one who had written this. And they were from northern Italy.
14th century, it looks like.
Yes. Well, they cultivated and perpetuated devotional singing among the Italian people. And this particular tune was done by Ralph Vaughan Williams, first published in an English hymnal in 1906.
Mm-hmm. Can you hum it?
No. It is a strong, dignified, moving tune made especially interesting by its unusual metrical scheme.
Hmm.
In fact,
no wonder it's the only hymn that uses that melody, huh?
Yes. There are those who assert that it is perhaps the most beautiful hymn tune composed since the old 100th.
Really?
And for some reason, it is not coming through on our computer. I'm going to try one more thing and see. Let's see. Come down, O Love Divine, and see what...
It's about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost.
Yes, it's from the Pentecost era, but for some reason it's not playing. Let me see. Yeah, I got it all set up right. Well, we'll have to figure that out later on. At this point, read the first stanza.
Sure. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O Comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing. It seems to, as I think about the gospel reading for this this coming Sunday, you know, it's the gospel is the story of the unmerciful servant, remember?
Yes.
10,000 talents he was forgiven, but couldn't forgive his fellow servant.
Okay, we're trying to get this particular hymn being played because of the tune. Let me go to it.
I'd sure like to hear it if it's one of its kind.
Yes, okay, here we go. And let me see. Skip ad. Yeah, very good, yeah. For some reason, it's not coming up. Okay. That's all right. The only one that has a tune that's the only one in the whole hymnal.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that something? And it's got the right words and everything, but for some reason, we're unable to get it up and running. Where our voices are coming through, okay?
Oh, I would hope so.
Yes. But it must be something. That's all right. We'll just go ahead and talk about it. Come down, O love divine. Now, you read the first stanza. In the promo, I said, come down. Where is it coming down from?
The Holy Spirit?
Right.
Well, he proceeds from the Father and the Son.
Very good. And so when it says come down, it's talking the Holy Spirit kind of in heaven. Jesus says, I'm going to send you another right. comforter.
That's right.
And this kind of thing. In other words, what we're getting is a picture of how the church continues.
Yes. Actually, of course, the Holy Spirit comes through the means of grace, which, of course, includes his gospel.
Yes. The Lutheran Witness had a really good article about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you had read it in the last item, but it said, what's interesting about the Holy Spirit, he hardly talks about himself.
Right. Jesus says he will testify of me.
That's a good verse to remember.
Yeah.
Yes. So... why this is, you were mentioning the particular passage coming up in the gospel.
Oh, yes. It seems to fit the story of the unmerciful servant. You know, the one that his master had forgiven him 10,000 talent debt,
right.
which is a huge debt. It's just, it's incalculable almost.
Exactly.
And he forgives him. And then that same servant goes out and sees his fellow servant, who I think owns him just a denarii.
A day's wages.
Yes, just a day's wage. And he takes him by the throat and chokes him.
Yeah.
He says, pay me what you owe. And then he has him thrown into prison until he can pay. And then his fellow servants, you know, they're really, you know, they see this unforgiving spirit and they go tell the master, and then the master takes care of him.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I think this is an appropriate hymn.
Why?
Is because, you know, if we're unforgiving, you know, the only way we can become forgiving is by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel. You don't become forgiving by, I'll just forgive. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's only a gift of, it's a gift of God's mercy. It's motivated when we hear about how Jesus forgave us. That's the whole point. See, that 10,000 talent debt represents the huge debt that Christ atoned for us and forgives us. How can we withhold forgiveness from our fellow, our neighbor, when we're mindful of the huge debt that Jesus has paid for us?
Yeah, I've talked about certain circumstances, though, where it's really difficult to forgive.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The one I always remember, this is a true story. Two sisters were at the home, and the one sister had a child, and the other sister was leaving, drove down the...
Oh, boy.
Backwards on the driveway and ran over the child.
Oh.
She had to move to another state.
I guess so. Yeah. Oh, I hear stories like that occasionally.
So what would you say to the sister who had difficulty in forgiving her?
I would say if you can at least pray to God that God give me the ability to forgive my neighbor or my sister, whatever the case may be, I would say that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is already working on you.
Yes.
I always encourage people. You know, I've had people come into my office as a pastor and say, you know, I just really have a tough time forgiving this person. And I'd say, I would say to them, well, can you at least join with me in prayer that you would have a forgiving spirit for this individual? And that's, you know, that shows the Holy Spirit working right there. These are people even that, you know, that are Christian, that they go to church, but they still, there's some particular thing that's happened in the past that they just have a tough time forgiving.
Right. Here's what I do. You know, I'm one with questions all the time. They come in and they say, I have a difficult time in forgiving. The question I would ask them is, in your mind, what would have to happen or what would occur in you that you have forgiven? What would they say to that in your experience?
That they can complete. A lot of people think that they can operate with that person and work with that person and interface with that person just as if nothing happened. And I think that's expecting too much. I think you can forgive. You may not trust that person again. If somebody has molested your child, you can forgive. But I wouldn't trust that person to babysit your child again. See, forgiveness and trust are two different things.
You're making a point. Every time I've asked this question, they always have the wrong view of forgiveness.
Yeah. They expect that if you're able to forgive, you can interface with that person.
Right, right.
Just like that's important to understand. Yeah. And I think that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness and trust are two different things.
The point I'm trying to make here is that when they are mistaken on what it means to forgive, a lot of times they have forgiven and they're unaware of it. What would Jesus say is the bottom line to forgiveness? What would that mean from God's point of view?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is asking too much. Would you be willing to lay down your life for that individual?
No.
Is that
because they would say no?
Yeah.
That's right. Not forgiveness.
No, but that's what he did.
That may be, but that's not.
But that's the $10,000 debt, 10,000 talent debt, I suppose.
Yes.
Not everybody's willing to lay down their life for somebody that's wronged them.
So we're still trying to get to the point, what is forgiveness? It's not laying down your life. It's not. It's in the parable that talks about here. What was so bad about once one guy was forgiven and then he refused to forgive the smaller debt?
Right.
What was his attitude at that point towards the person who had the smaller debt?
Pay me what you owe. And he was ready to choke him.
Right. In other words, retribution.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yes.
So I would look at the person and say, okay, you can't forgive this individual. What are you doing to get even with them? And they'll look at me and say, well, I'm not really doing anything to get even. How are you taking vengeance on them? They say, well, I'm not. I say, guess what? You already have forgiven. Forgiveness means that you will not take retribution personally against a person or vengeance. You let God do that. For example, when I drove a taxi, yellow cab, years ago, I got robbed. Now, I could have, if I had a gun, which I didn't, taken a gun out and shot the three young people who were robbing me as they were running away. That's wrong. Instead, I was to drive to God, which was the nearest police station, and let them take over. So I had already forgiven them. This is so simple. Forgiveness means you're not going to do retribution. And I have so many people that come to me and say, I can't forgive someone, and they're under the impression that they have to be nice to the person. You made that point. No, that doesn't mean you're nice or that you like them or that you can work with them. It means you're not taking personal vengeance against them. That's what God did for us. He took that vengeance upon his son, not upon us. And therefore, we get the benefits of what Christ has done. So a lot of times, I've never found anybody who says, I can't forgive, who has the right view of forgiveness. They always are thinking, well, I got to be nice to the person.
It takes more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's not at all necessary. When Jesus was crucified, his words to the Father were, Father,
forgive them.
For they know not what they are doing.
Right.
There was a lack of vengeance upon them. That's a huge difference between the temporal and the spiritual realm. There is no forgiveness in the temporal realm.
I think part of the difficulty is people try to equate what should be their forgiveness with what was God's forgiveness.
Well, that's good.
Would you be willing to give your own son for that individual? A lot of people think, well, if I'm going to forgive him, I should be as forgiving as God was toward us.
No.
And that's asking too much.
That's because that's not forgiveness. You can't use Jesus as an example as to how we're to forgive. We have to use his own words. First night, after the resurrection, he appears in the upper room. And what does he say to the apostles? Whosoever.
He says, peace be with you.
That's the first thing. And so there's no retribution.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what does he say? Whosoever sins you.
You forgive.
They are forgiven. Now, and what's the criterion? For example, you can ask somebody, do you feel bad that you feel you're unable to forgive? And they almost always say yes.
Yes.
But
yes.
I just can't do it. Well, what do you mean you can't do it? You see, forgiveness isn't doing something. It's not doing something.
So if that person, you take the retribution, the wish for retribution out of it, that person has essentially forgiven him?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, where do you find, like the one sister, where the other sister killed her child, you could ask her, are you trying to wait till she has a child and you're going to run over it? Oh, no, Pastor.
Yeah.
I would never do anything
like
that.
Well,
that's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Can somebody, and I suppose it makes sense then that that you don't necessarily need the Holy Spirit to forgive.
Oh, you absolutely do, because the lack of retribution shows that the Holy Spirit is working within you.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that are outside of the Christian faith that will not carry out that retribution. Do you mean to say, in their case, was it the Holy Spirit?
No, because God looks at the heart as to the motivation.
Ah, okay.
And the motivation isn't. See, they're unaware that it's their love for Jesus and what he has done for them. A lot of people won't take retribution because they don't want to be in trouble with the cops.
Right, right.
Although I do like Channel 22 every night. They got about 8 stories of women who cheat on their husband and then the husband murders her and hides it and all that.
You like watching that kind of TV, huh, Tom?
Yes, because... you know, every time, if that's why Louise can't watch it with me, there's a woman leaving her place of work, walking down a dark alley alone.
You're talking about TV now.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And I say, oh.
Something's going to happen.
She deserves it.
Yeah.
I mean, how dumb can you be?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I watch, the women are not going to want to hear that. She deserves it.
Well, the fact of the matter is, yeah, if your kids go on drugs and they deserve it. Well, getting arrested and
a woman walking down a dark alley, she deserves trouble? See, you realize what you're saying. That's, I don't, you don't want to say that this day and age.
Why?
Because you get pounced on.
It's same with a man. It could be a man or a woman, but it's normally a woman that's attacked.
In TV?
No, in real life.
Oh, okay.
No, these things from Channel 22 were all real stories.
Is that right?
What people were doing.
Okay.
Oh, I'll give you another example. A woman gets beat up by her husband.
Uh-huh.
And then she begs the police not to arrest him.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
sometimes the police get
when
attacked.
I say she deserves more beatings, what I mean by that is that's how God has set up reality, that if you don't take action and call to God, then what comes after that, I mean, every time you do something that is contrary to the will of God and a negative thing happens,
you're opening yourself up for trouble.
And you deserve it. Yeah, because God is trying to wake you up. Like, one of the best ones I saw recently is some children were on drugs. They were teenagers, and they got arrested, and they called their mom, and their mom said to the police, no, put him in jail. He deserves it, which is very good. It's called tough love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kids got to learn they can't do things and just get away with it. Like, we've got a situation here in St. Louis coming up where a policeman may be judged not guilty for shooting someone some years ago. And there's all kinds of people who say, oh, they're going to close down the airport. They're going to close the Cardinals game tonight, all this kind of stuff. Well, I don't mind.
The protesters,
yes,
you're talking. Okay.
Peacefully. You can protest against anything you want.
Sure.
But if you start doing that kind of violence, then you should be arrested. Absolutely. And I was watching, you know, the Los Angeles when they had that big riots.
Yes,
there,
the Watts riots.
Oh boy.
Or the Watts. Oh no, that was even before.
Well, the trucker
Rodney
got
King.
Hit. Yes.
Yes.
Well, the trucker got hit in the head and
right.
All this
I remember seeing that. Yes.
I didn't realize it, but the either the mayor or the governor told the police to leave the area, and you actually saw them getting in their cars and driving away. This is such an un-Lutheran understanding of reality that if you allow people to do things, they're going to do
it.
They
will do it, yes.
And that's what happened in Ferguson, too, is they just allowed these people to rampage, hoping that it wouldn't get bad, and all kinds of places were burned down. That's why a Christian officer or official is far better, because hopefully they have an understanding that you can't do that. You can't allow evil to take over. And so, in a sense, the police deserved what happened when they fled the scene. That's how I'm talking about. But the big thing we want to say, because we're not going to get through the hymn, is that was a good tie-in you did. I hadn't thought of it, about the gospel reading. But the point is, guess what? That's what forgiveness is. We are unwilling to do retribution. And I think that would be helpful to a lot of people, because there are a lot of people who want to do retribution. You see this in classrooms all the time. Somebody does something to one kid, and the next
I hit you last. No, yeah. I hit you two times last.
Yeah, exactly.
I hit you three times last. Remember that?
Or, I'm going to remember that. And when they say that, they're not just talking about in their mind. They're talking about they're going to kind of get even. And if you have that, that's not forgiveness.
Right.
But I don't think that one sister wanted to get even with her other sister. She was just such in grief.
Yeah, boy.
Because of that. Then you deal with those feelings.
Sure.
But don't put it in the category that she hasn't forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
She has forgiven if she's not getting even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful.
So all you do when somebody comes in to a pastor's office, I can't forgive this person. The first question I ask is, when do you know you have forgiven them? And then your point really comes in, because they'll say something like, well, when I feel like I want to be around him, when I like him again, and this kind of...
No, that's asking too much.
It's not what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness, I've used this definition when I was at the Dallas federal prison talking to prisoners. I was trying to get across to them. I said, if the warden came in and said, you are forgiven, what would that mean? They said, will you be able to leave the prison? I said, would you still be guilty? They said, yes. I said, you now understand what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
That what forgiveness is, the best way to hold it, to understand it, is God no longer holds you accountable for that sin where he's going to get even with you.
Though guilty you may be.
As guilty as you may be, Jesus Christ took that guilt, put it on himself.
That's right.
And so I'm quite sure that in that sister's situation, she would say, I'm not holding my sister accountable in the sense I'm trying to get even. I just really feel uncomfortable when I'm around her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another problem. That's where the Holy Spirit may come in.
The gospel can,
that's right,
is about the only thing that can heal that.
Well said. Preaching this Sunday?
Oh, yeah. That text that I'm talking about, that's going to be there. That's the sermon.
And the sermons are at what time?
At 5 p.m. Saturday evening.
Good.
At Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-Newsapington intersection. And then, of course, Sunday morning at 9. Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Is the worship service.
Is the worship service on Sunday.
Is it the same as the Saturday?
The same service, text. Essentially, yes.
Right. And then the Bible study?
Bible study follows about 10:30.
10:30.
We're studying Isaiah.
Oh, you're studying Isaiah?
Yeah.
How's that coming?
It's not easy.
There's a lot
there, but
great
it's...
commentaries put out now by some of the SEM profs.
Right.
Those commentaries are great. They show you insights. All right, that's Pastor Mark Smith. I'm Tom Baker. And on the next Long Gospel, it's Insight Wednesday. And I think you will be happy to hear the particular insight we're using. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.